Oh, it's so ominous sounding. Anyway, welcome. It is 8 minutes after four at News Radio 930 WBEN, and it is Bowerly with you on a Monday. And I don't know, man, this weather. Okay, heat, you can deal with. Snow, you can deal with. But this rainy, clammy 43 degrees goes right through you. I think that this goes right through you more so than maybe even the blizzard of 22. I'm serious. Now, nobody's going to die as a result of today's weather. I should point that out. But good Lord, it is just... If you've been outside today, you know of what I speak. It is not pleasant. Not pleasant at all. Some point, I got to get out and go clothes shopping because the only clothes, well, it's a long story, but and very boring as well. But anyway, I, in case you don't know, I absolutely hate shopping. I with a passion, I hate shopping. You have no idea. If I can, I know it's horrible. There's some things I like to buy in person, but I'm just not a shopper. Don't like going to the grocery store. Just don't like it. It just, I don't know. They move things all over the place all the time. They even do that at the drugstores. Just when you got the drugstore layout, you know exactly where to latch on to what you need. Suddenly, they change it on you. It's like, don't you ever feel like a mouse in a labyrinth or just a, like an ant in a corn maze? Sometimes that's how I feel. Don't mind telling you. Which brings us, interestingly enough, to a subject I wasn't even going to get into today. I was going to talk a little bit about candy corn and what you're giving out for Halloween. But I think that we need to follow up on this because a lot of the calls the first 2 hours dealt with mental illness. And I certainly have been no stranger to covering this story or this topic on the air during shows. And I think it's appropriate to bring it up today because it has come up so many times in light of what happened in Lewiston, Maine, where you had a guy who was quite clearly, obviously mentally ill. He said he was mentally ill on his own form when he tried to buy the suppressor. And they wouldn't sell it to him, interestingly enough. But how tough is it to live with somebody or be with somebody who is mentally ill? What are your thoughts on institutionalization? Would institutionalization, and for those in Canada, that would be institutionalization, is that a better answer than what we have right now? Where back in the 1970s, there was this tremendous push to deinstitutionalize people with mental illness. Interestingly, isn't it interesting how just a few decades later, the homeless crisis began in full earnest? Now, geez, I don't suppose there's a connection. Would there be a connection between letting people out of supervised mental health facilities and onto the streets of the United States and an increase in homelessness? I think I'm onto something here. And as I mentioned earlier, and I'm not, believe me, I'm not making light of this at all. I think, well, I'll get into this in just a moment. But as I mentioned earlier, you can give a mentally ill person medication for 90 days. Whatever pills they need, 90 days, here's your supply. But here, interestingly, is what happens many times with people who are seriously mentally ill. Now, I happen to think all of us are a little bit tweaked, okay? All of us are. You know, we've all got our things. We've all got our... We've all got something, you know, that freaks us out a little bit or that bothers us, depresses us, makes us sad, makes us inexplicably happy. Like when the Ottawa Senators lose, I always become deliriously happy for some strange reason. But might be a little small thing, but it's there nonetheless. But if you have experiences with mental illness in your family, do you want to take us through the travails and the trails and the pain that goes along with that? Because when you have a serious illness, okay, whether it is cancer, whether it is, cancer is the big one because nobody really cares about heart disease. But as far as cancer is concerned, you know it affects the entire family. Okay, it does, and so does mental illness. But the problem is, okay, you can give a mentally ill person medication, but whether the mentally ill person takes the medication, well, that is another story. That is another kettle of fish altogether, is it not? Because as I said earlier, I have found just in my reading of mental illness and talking to people who have mental illness in their family is that, if you have diabetes, you are type 1 diabetes, you are on insulin. And you can't go off of insulin because, well, your body basically goes into shock and you die because you need insulin, okay? But with mental illness, and I'm trying to think of another disease like this, and I'm drawing a blank. With mental illness, what seems to happen all too often, I've heard this from people who have had situations in their own family, what happens is the person might be compliant for a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, a month, 6 months, but then something really strange happens with people who are mentally ill. They start to look at the pills as their enemies. And they think to themselves, why am I putting this stuff into my body when I feel perfectly fine? There is absolutely nothing wrong with me. And then they stop taking their meds and give it about 3, 4, 5 days. And suddenly they're back to where they were that got them hospitalized in the first place. And how a family can deal with that and themselves not flip their you-know-what is absolutely beyond me. Because, again, it affects everybody in the family without exception and to the exclusion of none. So I want to hear, again, I wasn't even going to do this as a topic today, but I'm going to do it today because it came up a lot during the first 2 hours. Have you had to deal and navigate the mental health system? Do you have somebody in your family, maybe even you, who has a severe mental illness? Now, mental illness comes in all kinds of shapes and sizes and forms and what have you. There is what I would consider to be, and this is not medical by any stretch of the imagination, this is just common sense, has nothing to do with medical. There are people who are severely mentally ill, people who hear things, who see things, auditory hallucinations, people who have no contact with reality whatsoever, the people you'll see walking down the street mumbling to themselves. I would call that severe mental illness. And then there is people who have, borderline personality disorder, and they can function just fine in the workplace, especially in broadcasting, which is interesting. But borderline personality disorder, those people can function just fine and dandy. Thank you very much. Schizophrenia, there's certainly a serious mental illness. They tell me it is controllable by medication. And then you've got what I would consider to be low-level mental illness, like you're neurotic. You worry about things that really you don't need to worry about. And then, of course, there are minor mental illness situations like obsessive-compulsive disorder. Did I shut the oven off? Better turn around and check the house again. Then you get back in the car, you start driving away. Did I really shut the oven off? And then you do it again. I wouldn't call that a serious mental illness. It's kind of, I would consider that more of a quirk. But then again, I don't have it, so I guess it's easy for me to say. But in your family, in your life, I would like to know if mental illness plays a role and how it affects your family. Because, again, it came up so many times during the first 2 hours of the program. And it's amazing to me, frankly. How many people who are famous have these really deep mental issues, like Sinead O'Connor, for example? I mean, Sinead O'Connor is just textbook for so many things that can go wrong with the human brain. Tremendously talented, especially when she was younger, but that Saturday Night Live appearance where she ripped up the picture of the Pope on a national stage, that was almost like the high watermark of the insanity of Sinead O'Connor. And she died in her 50s, and she lived in a pretty unhappy life. Actually, emailed Sinead O'Connor a few times way back when. But that's another story altogether and has no bearing on the program. 803-0930 is the phone number. Star 930 on the cell phone, and 1-800-616-WBEN. 803-0930, Star 930, and 1-800-616-WBEN. And I'm going to throw something else out at you that I've been talking about a little bit today. And I especially direct this at those of you who have a mentally ill family member or friend. All of this newfound talk about mental illness and the importance of mental well-being, and we're listening to what you have to say. Do you think that that's just a bunch of crap? Because personally, I think it's just a bunch of crap. It's corporate, and it's corporate America doing its best to virtue signal. Where I'll bet you anything, if one of their CEOs called in and said, "I'm having an attack of schizophrenia," before long, they'd be the former CEO of the major Fortune 500 company. I do wonder about Elon Musk, but then I realize Elon Musk is a time traveler, so he can be excused any of his eccentricities. 803-0930, Star 930. I didn't say he was insane. I just said I wonder about him. 803-0930. Star 930 on the cell phone, and Bill Gates, for that matter, and 1-800-616-WBEN. And due to the sensitive nature of what we are talking about, I understand that you might be listening saying, "I want to call in, but I sure don't want to give my name and hometown." Well, that's all right. You don't have to. You can be anonymous from anywhere. And that's fine by me. You can be anonymous calling from one of Jupiter's moons, for all I care. The important thing is, what is it like having somebody with severe mental illness in your family? What kind of family trauma has that caused? And how have you navigated the system? What advice would you give to people trying to navigate the system? Because it's got to be hell. Because, again, you go to somebody and say, "My son has leukemia," you get the automatic GoFundMe page. You go to somebody who says, "Well, you know what? My daughter is schizophrenic," and people want to walk away. 803-0930, Star 930, 1-800-616-WBEN. All right, now, if nobody cares about the mental illness topic, I will move on. Okay, I will get a better feel for that as we head into the news. I thought it would be a good segue in light of how many times it came up when we were talking about the gun thing and the mass shooter phenomenon. But if I'm my favorite expression of the day, if I'm urinating into a hurricane, there's no point in continuing to do so, because I know exactly what's going to happen. So if you have a situation of mental illness in the family or among a friend, and you've got stories about trying to get help and being rebuffed from getting help, or you thought somebody was out of the woods and it turns out they were just taking a detour and they're back into the woods, by all means, give us a call. I would like to hear your story. It's one thing to talk about it. It's one thing to hear people in the third person talking about it. But it's quite another to hear people who are intimately affected by some kind of mental illness. I mean, do you believe, for example, I mean, the question would be, if you have somebody in your family with mental illness, do you believe that they'd be better off in an institution, or are they better off in the outside world? And in the early 1970s, there began a movement to deinstitutionalize mentally ill people and treat them with pharmaceuticals, which supposedly have gotten better and better and better over time, but a pharmaceutical is only as good as the compliance of the person taking the pharmaceutical. If the person who's supposed to be taking the pharmaceutical ain't taking the pharmaceutical, well, obviously, it's not going to do them any good. But I'm presuming that you guys have a hell of a lot more experience with this stuff than do I. And probably a bad time to call right now, but as you hear Tom Puckett slide into the commercials at 4:30 or during the 4:30 news, that would be a good time to call. Or I could just move on and get into some other stuff here. But I want to give you guys the opportunity to talk about what used to be this great stigma. And it supposedly isn't a stigma anymore. And one of my questions would be, do you really believe that mental illness isn't a stigma anymore? Do you really believe that? Because I don't believe that for one stinking minute. Like I said, do a little experiment. And it just in human nature, go to work one day and say, you know, my one child has leukemia, and then give it a couple of months, and then go in and say, my one child has schizophrenia, and see the different reactions. They're both illnesses, but one is an illness of the blood, one is an illness of the brain, and you get two different reactions. So it is my belief that we talk a real good game about we need to listen to people. We need to be open. We need to confront this problem of mental illness. And people have to be free to talk about it. But try talking about it sometime with somebody and see how quickly they back away and or they have a fake cell phone call they have to answer. I don't think I'm very far off the mark. The phone number 803-0930, star 930, and 1-800-616-WBEN. Play Tanner Saunders. It is Bowerly on News Radio 930 WBEN. So I was reading some review online about Bob Dylan playing in Toronto, and he only did one song anybody really cared about, and somehow people absolutely loved it. Brainwashed. I'm sorry. I loved Bob Dylan, and I Blood on the Tracks, I just keep listening to it over and over and over again, but, you know, you gotta give the people what they want, and I guess they just want to see Bob Dylan. I wonder if he hid behind the piano like he did at Shea's last time he was at Shea's. Anyway, it is 4:38 at News Radio 930 WBEN. You know, Bob Dylan supposedly has an IQ of 106. That's not really high, and I don't think it's accurate at all. I think it's a lot higher than 106. I mean, seriously. Anyway, welcome to the show. It is Bowerly. Okay, last call, four calls on the subject of mental illness and whether you have to deal with it yourself or in your family and what it's done to your family. Haven't even talked about the costs financially of mental illness, not even the costs of the emotional aspects of mental illness for the entire family, because it affects everybody in the family. And I thought I'd give you the opportunity to tell us all about what it was like, what it is like for you. It's very, very common. And you don't have to tell us your real name. You don't have to tell us from where you are really calling. All you have to do is just tell us about the difficulties in navigating the system. Tell us about when the initial onset was, what got the person to the psychiatrist or the hospital or whatever. And what do we do? You know, what do we do with people who... I mean, look, it's all good and fine to deinstitutionalize people, but isn't it interesting that we deinstitutionalized people from mental institutions and then suddenly we had a homeless problem? Couldn't have seen that coming. And that was a problem that was caused by a policy. Now, why don't they pump money into mental hospitals? Why don't they pump money into mental care? I don't know. Along the line, maybe the politicians figured that the mental illness vote was not worth really going for, and they didn't want to be known for that. I have no idea, but it is what it is. But to you, it's a real thing if you're going through it. So let me give you the phone number one more time. Want to give you the opportunity because it came up a lot during the first couple of hours of the program today to share with us your experiences on the mental illness front. 803-0930 is the phone number, *930 on the cell phone, and 1-800-616-WBEN, 803-0930, *930, and 1-800-616-WBEN. Have you been there and done that? Have you had a family member who has been there and done that? And I can't imagine what it would be like to be a child growing up in a home where one or the other parent, or God forbid both, are severely mentally ill. And to come through that unscathed, that's got to be something. I mean, you've got a genetic predisposition, and you also didn't exactly have the best role models when you were growing up. So put us in the picture with your personal story. Was there anything that anybody said during the first couple of hours that ticked you off? Anything somebody said during the first couple of hours that with which you agreed personally because you've lived that life, you know what it is like? 803-0930, *930, 1-800-616-WBEN. And I will always say this, I certainly am not a doctor, but I could probably fake being one at this point. There's not too many things that I haven't had operated on or broken at some point in my life. So I could probably, I'd probably fake my way through it with some degree of competency. 803-0930, *930, and 1-800-616-WBEN. And I don't know about you, but weather like this, when I say it goes right through you, I mean anything you have ever broken in your life is hurting you right now. I mean, it's just, this is the kind of weather that separates the men from the boys. And the, well, that and the crowbar. 803-0930, *930, and 1-800-616-WBEN. And by boys, I mean boys of legal age, lest you think I was going down some other disgusting road. See, that's another thing, too. I mean, like pedophiles. See, I think, don't hate me for this, but I think pedophiles should absolutely positively face the death sentence. There's no curing them, and they're simply predators on society, and I'd have no problem putting pedophiles to death at all. I take that very, very seriously. There are certain things that are meant for adults and certain things that are meant for children, and the two that I'm thinking of simply do not go together. And if you're a grown-up and you got a thing for kids, throw yourself in the river, please. Do yourself a favor. Do us all a favor. 803-0930. But it's a mental illness. Well, I don't know if it's a mental illness or not, but I do know that people who are victimized by pedophiles have a very, very difficult road ahead the rest of their life. And there's no getting over it, no getting around it. And it leaves trauma and scars like you wouldn't believe. And that's why I have such very strong feelings. I mean, there's a controversial stance, right? I have very strong feelings against pedophiles. I find them to be, loathsome, disgusting, worthy of a slow and torturous death, kind of like Mel Gibson at the end of Braveheart. I hope I didn't ruin it for you. 803-0930, *930, and 1-800-616-WBEN. Your stories about mental illness in your family, trying to navigate the system, trying to navigate the healthcare system, trying to navigate the health facilities system, which, as I understand it, is not exactly the easiest thing to do, trying to find a psychiatrist. I heard from somebody in the not-too-distant past that even trying to find a psychiatrist, it was like a five-month waiting period. Like, by the time the 5 months goes by, all kinds of bad things could happen. All right, 803-0930, *930, 1-800-616-WBEN. Let's go to Sheila in Lancaster. Sheila, you are on WBEN. Hello.
Hi, Tom. I apologize that I just joined your show, so I might have missed if you've already had this conversation with people, but I'm happily married 42 years, and about 6 years ago, 5 years ago, my husband literally woke up a completely different person. Unbelievable swing into, we thought he had a brain tumor. Just, I can't even tell you the swearing and the confrontation and the no sleeping and the 24/7 drinking and the, I mean, it was like Jekyll and Hyde. And looking back now, he was manic. He was bipolar, still is bipolar. But he didn't think there was anything wrong, and that was what I was going to say. I've gone through a lot of the NAMI, and I don't know if anyone talked about them, but it's a wonderful organization that helps families. The part of this mental illness is the, and I don't know the word again, it's long, but that they don't recognize that they have a mental illness. And they think they're fine, and everybody else is crazy. And it's very difficult as a family member who loves their family member to... You get on this hamster wheel, I called it, and you can't get, they don't see it. The lens that they see through is so distorted that you could show them proof right in front of their face. My husband couldn't go to my daughter's wedding. He hasn't met any of our grandchildren. He is off the wall, but yet he thinks we're all the crazy ones. And that's so frustrating as a loved one because there's nothing you can do.
Sheila, let me just interrupt. I mean, your husband would have been at least a middle-aged man when this first presented itself to you?
Yes, he was 54. He just turned 60. He was 54 when he woke up and was a completely different man. Now, all of his childhood friends and family members would say he always had a little piece of mania over, he used to call it enthusiasm. You know, we're not going to get 6 chickens, we're going to get 26 chickens. And there was a lot of things looking back, yes, that I loved about him. He was very spontaneous, but everyone now says, no, it was mania. It was in little, they call it hypomania, little spurts of it. But yeah, it was 54 where he literally woke up the summer before our daughter's wedding, woke up and... When I tell you confrontation, I mean, my husband was a wonderful Christian guy, great dad, never swore the F word nonstop. Passed the F and butter in the morning. It was like, what? And it was just, like I said, we thought he had a brain tumor. We thought he had frontal lobe dementia because he was so paranoid. He thought everyone was following him. It was so scary. And it wasn't. He literally retired, bought a puppy and pulled out of our driveway on Christmas Eve that year. And I thought I'd never see him again. And he slept in his car for 2 months in Florida.
So Sheila, we're talking about mental illness, and I want to hear your story. I mean, I'll continue this if you guys want me to do it. And if you don't, I'll switch to one of the other million topics I've got handy at any given moment in time. But Sheila is happily married to a guy. And then one day at the age of 54, he wakes up and he's a totally different person. She called it like a Jekyll and Hyde thing. And last we heard in her tale of woe, he had a boat. He bought a puppy. He slept in his car for 2 months in Florida. And what happened next?
Well, he called me and apologized to me and came home in February of that, well, the end of February. So he was down in Florida for 2 months with a puppy living in his truck, his boat in the water somewhere, but his boat isn't one you could live on. So he came back very low, extremely low, because now he doesn't have a job. And it took a while to figure out. He was himself, but he wasn't himself. He looked like him. But his opinions, even though when he was manic, now looking back, he was manic. We did an intervention. We did everything we could. Now learning, you don't ever try and do that. He thought he was God at that point. We made a lot of mistakes. He came back, was low. Then in 20, so we just kind of lived our life, but my adult children would not come to the house or bring their children because of the things he did while he was manic. Crazy. And then in 20, he was, that summer, was manic again. I mean, he barricaded the end of our driveway because he thought, we live in Lancaster. I mean, because he thought Black Lives Matter protesters were going to come up our driveway. He was paranoid, went to all the neighbors, wanted to start a big group to protect our homes. And it was just it's insane. And when you bring it up, even when he was low, you couldn't, there was nothing wrong with him. There was nothing. Can a guy be tired? Can a guy have enthusiasm? And that was the part that I learned so much going to these NAMI family classes about the mental illness piece. And that's why so many people don't ever get better, in air quotes, because they feel good. They don't think they need their meds and they stop taking meds. And my husband said to me many times, I will live under a bridge if I have to live under a bridge. And he would live under a bridge. And 2 years ago, he pulled out of our driveway, and he's been in Florida ever since, and I haven't seen him. I blocked him because the text, he was nasty and very abusive verbally when he was manic. Everyone was against him, and I was the sick one, the kids were the sick ones, we were all, you know, and that's such a huge piece with the mental illness, because nobody, his best friends, his own parents, nobody can tell him that he's sick. So he's unmedicated, undiagnosed, on everything. But now looking back, we go, oh, he's bipolar. He was up but the mania lasted 6 to 8 months both times that he was super manic. And then he was down, sleeping all the time in the down parts. It's terrible. And when you go on these, I belong to a couple groups on Facebook, and I read my story over and over and over again, and it just, it's the families it has left in its wake. I mean, the destruction of, we had the most beautiful, godly, wonderful, if you would have told me the year before my family would have been broken up, I would have laughed in your face. And it was like, something has taken over my husband. And it's very difficult because he's still alive. But I mean, he started smoking. He's never smoked in his life. He started smoking. He grew a ponytail. I mean, he just, the things that he did, and he would say to me, I would tell him, you know, this is wrong what you're doing. And he would look at me and he'd say, I don't care if it's wrong. I believe it. And if I believe it, even if it's not factual, I believe it. And
dear, that was. Are you able to hold on through the news break? Because I know it's painful for you to talk about, but it's also cathartic. And I think it also might be educational for other people who are listening. So I'm going to put you on hold and we'll get back to you. And I will take other calls on this. Sheila is one of the best callers I've ever had on the subject of mental illness. I find myself, and maybe you find yourself, mesmerized by her story. 803-0930 is the phone number, *930 on the cell phone, and 1-800-616-WBEN. I think, to me, the most interesting part about the story is he was 54 when this full-blown mania broke through the surface. There were little clues along the way, but my goodness, usually, it's not uncommon, for example, for schizophrenia to manifest itself during the college years, late high school and college years. It's Bowerly on News Radio 930 WBEN.